Please take your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And let's ask God to guide us before we look at this passage. Father, we thank you for your word that is everything we need for life and godliness. And as we learn how much you loved us, you sent your son to die for us. Help us to respond to your love by trusting you and then living for you out of love for you. Pray that you use this passage to grow us in love for one another out of love for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this past week was Memorial Day, and as we think about reflecting on that, it always gets me thinking as I seek to remember those who have died in service for our country. They died to preserve our freedoms, and ultimately, Jesus does that, right? He's the ultimate example, and that's what their sacrifice should cause us to remember. That's why I wanted to share that video with you. I don't know if any of you remember, I shared that back in 2018. I know some of you have never seen it before because you weren't here. But I love how it ties, goes from what Christ did to remembering the sacrifice of others. Because he is the ultimate sacrifice, right? In this passage, we find this truth summarized and applied. And this is relevant still for us today. As we think about the love that God showed for us, he died for us. And that should cause us, challenge us, to be willing to sacrifice and give our lives for others in practical ways. Maybe actual physically, but probably for most of us, it's going to be in the day-to-day things, as we will see. 1 John was written by John, the beloved apostle. And to help people to know if they're truly saved. That's what 1 John 5:13. These things are written to you that you may believe, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So he tells us right there why he wrote this. And in this chapter, John chapter 3, it starts by showing the need to love one another as believers. If we're truly saved, then we should show that in how we treat others. And from John's instructions in these verses, we can learn about what true love looks like as we reflect on Memorial Day. And by heeding three calls that he gives in these verses. And again, I would just say, I wanted to think about this as we, especially in light of Memorial Day and as we just spent time thinking about what Christ done for us. So appropriate. So what is it as we consider reflecting on Memorial Day? The three calls. First call is to love sacrificially in verse 16. By this we know love because he laid down his life for us and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here John is calling believers to sacrificially love one another by explaining how we know love because Jesus laid down his life for us. Right? John chapter 15 verses 12 and 13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus shows us the greatest example of that. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He sacrifices for us. And then Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given for himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So he gave his life for us, but that is an example for us. And then as we think of Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. See, he loved us when we hated him. That's the reality we need to remember as we consider what Christ has done for us. So this should motivate us. You see this in Paul's life in Philippians 2:17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering in the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Because he loved them, he was willing to give his life for them. As well as 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. So Paul models that, and then he challenges husbands in Ephesians 5:25 to love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In fact, he's going to spend quite a bit of time developing that thought, that why? So that he can sanctify and cleanse her present her glorious to himself, right, without spot and blemish. And so this is why, as following Christ's example, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So when you love your wife, you're actually loving yourself. And if you, you know, no one, naturally, we love ourselves, right? We take care of ourselves. And so does the Lord, the church. So this is the example that we have. The question is, are we loving sacrificially? A number of years ago, I'd done a paper actually in high school on some of the Medal of Honor citations in World War II. And these are a few that stood out to me. One, as I think about the sacrifice of others, Herbert F. Christian, he's a private in the U.S. Army. And on June 2nd or 3rd, it's in the middle of the night, 1944, Private Christian elected to sacrifice his life in order that his comrades might extricate themselves from an ambush. Braving mass fire of about 60 riflemen, 3 machine guns, and 3 tanks from positions only 30 yards distance, he stood erect and signaled to the patrol to withdraw. The whole area was illuminated by enemy flares. Although his right leg was severed above the knee by cannon fire, Private Christian advanced on his left knee in the bloody stump of his right thigh, firing a submachine gun. Despite excruciating pain, Private Christian continued on his self-assigned mission. He succeeded in distracting the enemy and enabled his 12 comrades to escape. He killed 3 enemy soldiers almost at once, leaving a trail of blood behind him. He made his way forward 20 yards, halted at a point within 10 yards of the enemy, and despite intense fire, killed a machine pistol man. Reloading his weapon, he fired directly into the enemy position. The enemy appeared enraged at the success of his ruse, concentrating 20-millimeter machine gun, machine pistol, and rifle fire on him, yet he refused to seek cover. Maintaining his erect position, Private Christian fired his weapon to the very last. Just as he emptied his submachine gun, the enemy bullets found their mark, and Private Christian slumped forward dead. The courage and spirit of self-sacrifice displayed by this soldier were an inspiration to his comrades and are in keeping with the highest tradition of the armed forces. We should honor that. But how much more should that challenge us, right, as we think about the sacrifice of Christ, to sacrifice for those that we love? Are you loving sacrificially as God calls us to do? Do you see how he showed us what it looks like in giving his life for us by dying on a cross for our sin? Have you responded to his sacrificial love by first trusting in him for salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you should do. Because of his love for us, you should believe in him. Have you done that? And then are you seeking to sacrificially love like him, as we saw in Ephesians 5:2? Right? The challenge to love like Jesus. Are you sacrificing to share the gospel of those around you instead of only thinking of yourselves? Starts with praying for others and then speaking as we ought, as we've been looking at in Sunday school, Colossians 4:2-6. And the husbands, especially, are you seeking to follow Christ in loving your wife like this? Love your wife like you love yourself. You do that, that's natural, right? You don't need to be told to do that. But we need to do it, be told to do it for our wives. Don't just say you love your wife, show it. Are you loving sacrificially? First call, second call, love practically in verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? John is calling believers to love practically by explaining that whoever has this world's goods, that's what sustains life. It's the necessities like food and clothing, like 1 Timothy 6:8 talks about. And sees his brother or sister in need, right? It says, James 2:15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, it's not just talking about wants here, it's talking about their actual needs, and shuts up his heart from him, hardens his heart, Deuteronomy 15:7 says, if there's any among you a poor man or of your brethren, and within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut up your hand from your poor brother. So don't harden it. Don't say, I'm not going to help them because that means it'll be less for me. Instead, we should do what Proverbs 3, verses 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, but it is in the power of your hand to do so. When you have it, give it. All right? It's not talking about giving up stuff that you need for life. Okay? But we, all of us, if we're honest, we have so much extra. Are we willing to share it with others? Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. I always remember the story of Sheffy. You know, and he comes on this family, his horse has died in the traces. And he says, well, I'll pray for you. And he gets down and starts to pray. And he's like, what am I doing? Here's my horse. I'm healthy. I can walk. And he gives him his horse. Right? When you have the ability to meet the needs, meet them. I'm not talking about enabling people, those that are living self-destructive lifestyles. That's not what we're talking about. When they're true needs, and especially brothers and sisters in Christ, we have responsibility to help them first. This is what we're commanded to do. 1 Timothy 6, 17-18. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to joy. Let them be do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. That should be our attitude. That should be our default as we live as Christians. We should be known for this. In fact, he says, how does the love of God abide in you? This question. We really should question someone's salvation. If they are hoarding, if they are keeping things to themselves and not willing to share with other Christians, then, as Paul or John writes, and later in 1 John 4, 20-21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Where is this commandment found? John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Sacrificially. That you ought also to love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's one of the number one marks for a Christian, should be a love for other Christians. It should be shown. And this is where our priority, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. This should be shown in our lives. Right? So be willing to share. Willing to share what God has given. And this is why we should, and that's what should motivate us even as we work hard. I want to share another citation with you. This comes from Richard Knott Antrim, commander of the U.S. Navy, and he had been captured along with many others in the South Pacific. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while interned as a prisoner of war of the enemy Japanese in the city of Makassar, Celebes, Netherlands, East Indies in April 1942. Acting instantly on behalf of a naval officer who is subjected to a vicious clubbing by a frenzied Japanese guard, venting his insane wrath upon the helpless prisoner, Commodore, then Lieutenant Antrim, boldly intervened, attempting to quiet the guard and finally persuading him to discuss the charges against the officer. With the entire Japanese force assembled and making extraordinary preparations for the threatened beating, and with the tension heightened by 2,700 Allied prisoners rapidly closing in. This is one of the big camps. Commander Antrim courageously appealed to the fanatic enemy, risking his own life in a desperate effort to mitigate the punishment. When the other had been beaten unconscious by 15 blows of a hawser and was repeatedly kicked by three soldiers to a point beyond which he could not survive, Commander Antrim gallantly stepped forward and indicated to the perplexed guard that he would take the remainder of the punishment. Throwing the Japanese completely off balance in their amazement and eliciting a roar of acclaim from the suddenly inspired Allied prisoners. By his fearless leadership and valiant concern for the welfare of another, he not only saved the life of a fellow officer and stunned the Japanese into sparing his own life, but also brought about a new respect for the American officers and men and a great improvement in camp living conditions. His heroic conduct throughout reflects the highest credit upon Commander Antrim and the U.S. Naval Service. It's very practical. It says, I'll take it. Right? He didn't just say he loved. He loved practically. Are you loving practically as God calls you to do? Do you realize that if you have extra resources, that we have responsibility to share them with others? As we saw, I mean, that's part of why we work hard, is that we would have extra to share. God doesn't give you more so that you can be more comfortable. He gives you more so you can be more generous. And again, Proverbs 3, 27, 28, don't wait. If you have the stuff, share it. Now we say that, and yet I find in our culture, it's easier for people to give money than it is for people to give their time. That's one of the resources that God has given you. In fact, our communities are starving for volunteers. With our neighbors, giving of your time is a practical. You say, well, I don't have much. You have time. In fact, that's maybe your more valuable resource. Are you willing to share that with others, especially with other believers? Or are we hoarding it? And if so, then we should consider if we're really saved. Because the number one mark of a believer is that they would show love for one another and do it in practical ways. Right? That we should do what he says. Will you repent and change today? Will you be willing to share practically, love practically? This leads us to the third call, to love truly. As verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John here calls believers to love truly by summarizing to believers. And notice he calls them my little children. He's used this before. It's a term of endearment in chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you. Chapter 3, verse 7. My little children, let no one deceive you. He is writing as an older man, 2nd and 3rd John. He's called the elder, probably is one up in his years. By the time he writes the book of Revelation, he may be even up in his 80s, 90s. And so they look up to him. These are his young. You know, I always find it interesting, people in their like 80s calling people in their 70s kids. Funny. Anyway, that's a bonus there. But he calls them to not just love in word or in tongue. All right, so not to do Ezekiel 33:31 says. So they come to you and say, as people do, they sit before me as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. Talk is cheap, right? But their hearts pursue their own gain. Or as Romans 12:9 calls us, let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be real. Let it be shown. Or as James 2:15, we read the first verse, but verse 16 goes on to say, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. But you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body. What does it profit? Are you really showing your love? I mean, in the context of showing your faith by your works. Is that how we should live? Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Previously, he just talked about the sacrifice of God, of Christ for us. And so we should praise him, that is, by the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's what God really wants, right? And if we say we love one another, then as 1 Corinthians 13, are we really showing it? Love suffers long as it is kind. Love doesn't envy, doesn't parade itself, is not puffed up, doesn't behave really, doesn't seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's what love looks like. Are we showing it? Is it for real in our life? I want to share with you another citation. Day G. Turner, sergeant in the U.S. Army, signed January 8th, 1945. He commanded a nine-man squad with the mission of holding a critical flank position. When overwhelming numbers of the enemy attacked with under cover of withering artillery, mortar, and rocket fire, he withdrew his squad to a nearby house, determined to defend it to the last man. The enemy attacked again and again and were repulsed with heavy losses. supported by direct tank fire, they finally gained entrance, but the intrepid sergeant refused to surrender. Although five of his men were wounded and one was killed, he boldly flung a can of flaming oil at the first wave of attackers, dispersing them, and fought doggedly from room to room, closing with the enemy in fierce hand-to-hand encounters. He hurled hand grenade for hand grenade, bayoneted two fanatical Germans who rushed the door he was defending, and fought on with the enemy's weapons when his own ammunition was expended. The savage fight raged for 4 hours, and finally, when only three of the defending squad were left unwounded, the enemy surrendered. That's what you're expecting, right? 25 prisoners were taken, 11 enemy dead, and a great number of wounded were counted. Sergeant Turner's valiant stand will live on as a constant inspiration to his comrades of his heroic, inspiring leadership. His determination and courageous devotion to duty exemplify the highest tradition of the military service. He was faithful to his orders, right? He did what he said he was going to do. He was true to that. And he was able to save, not only save lives, but capture the enemy. He did what he said. Are you truly loving as God calls you us to do? Are you quick to say words, kind words? Oh, I'm praying for you. Hope you get better soon. Right? These cliches that we throw around. Thoughts and prayers. Right? Those come easy. Words are easy. They're cheap. It's the real thing that shows it costs. Do you really mean it? Do you forget to pray? You ignore their problems? You focus on yourself? You're too busy. Are you showing your love not just with your words, but in action? You remember to pray, and then you ask about it later. You take time to call and text and visit. You offer to help, and you show up with food, tools, especially Milwaukee tools, time, energy, whatever it is, the needs. You see the needs, and you meet them. I'm so thankful people did that after our derechos. Sad when we have to say derechos, right? But that's the reality of living in Iowa. Thankfully, we didn't have the hurricanes that we drove through. Even we went through London, Kentucky, and saw the devastation there. It's the practical. When people show up, it shows that they really love. Do you realize that when you do, God is pleased with your sacrifice, and you are truly loving as God wants? Are you truly loving? You know, we keep mementos and pictures to help us remember the loved ones who have died. Many cemeteries put up flags at the veterans. Those are ways to remember. What about you? What are you doing to help you remember what Christ has done for you and his call to love like him? I think communion is a great way. It's why it's important that we take time to do that. But being in his word daily, the songs we sing, the Bible studies, the traditions that we have, when we understand what they mean, can become a great tool to help us remember what Christ has done for us. And then that should motivate us to love as he loved us. Are you loving sacrificially, loving practically, and loving truly? As he calls us to do, are we loving as he wants? As we reflect on Memorial Day, will you remember the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus and his call to love like him? Father, we thank you for this passage and its call to love like you have loved us. Help us to be faithful to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.